They say you can't choose your family, but you can pick your friends. And research from Rutgers University suggests that secondary school-aged children best choose wisely. Jessica Salvatore works in the burgeoning field of sociogenomics. Flipping the nature-nurture debate on its head, it argues that we can think of the environments we grow up in as having a genotype of their own. This, Jessica argues, is a much ignored determinant in our risk of developing psychiatric conditions in particular. Her new study, published in the American Journal of Psychiatry, found that the genetic makeup of adolescent peers may have long-term consequences for individual risk of anxiety, depression, and substance use disorders.
We know that from a number of studies, peers play a particularly important influence on the risk of developing psychiatric and substance use disorders. And so what we were doing in this study was bringing a genetic perspective to this question. How do our peers, their genetic predispositions, influence risk above and beyond the peer's behavior itself? So what our collaborative research team did was we used Swedish national data to define schools that people attended to, as well as the neighborhoods that they lived in growing up. And we were able to characterize then the genetic risk carried by one's peers across these both geographical and school-based levels in adolescence.
With these conditions, it's a complicated picture, to put it mildly, with regard to what specific genes are associated with them. So how did you index someone's genetic risk for you to then study how this related to health outcomes for their peers?
Using what we call pedigree-based information, individuals' risk for disorder based on the number of people in their extended families who were affected by these disorders. So an individual who has a number of first-degree relatives who are affected by, say, drug use disorder, alcohol use disorder, that person would have what we call a higher family genetic risk score, and then mapping individuals to peer groups to look at peer social genetic effects.
We know substance use disorder, for example, has genetic and environmental risk factors. So I trust you controlled for family socioeconomic factors when drawing your conclusions, given that you had access to their address and so on to go off.
Absolutely. What we found was, in fact, the genetic predispositions of peers in adolescence was associated with a target individual's likelihood of developing alcohol use disorder, drug use disorder, major depression, or anxiety disorder later on in adulthood. And one thing that I also want to mention is that these peer social genetic effects were statistically robust even after we controlled for whether or not the peers were themselves affected by these disorders. So, of course, one natural explanation for how peers' genetic predispositions might influence our own outcomes is that the peers at higher genetic risk might also be more likely to develop these disorders themselves, which is, in fact, correct. But even after we control for whether or not, statistically control for whether or not the peers were affected, we still see an association between peers' genetic predispositions and our target individual's likelihood of developing disorder in adulthood.
And were your findings consistent across the conditions you studied? Depression, anxiety, substance use disorder?
So that's actually one of the interesting nuances in these data, which is that we did find peer social genetic effects across all of these disorders, but the effects were stronger for what we call our externalizing disorders, that's alcohol and drug use disorder, compared to what we call our internalizing disorders, major depression and anxiety disorder. This finding is actually quite consistent with the broader peer influence literature, where other research groups have found that there are stronger sort of peer socialization effects for these externalizing disorders compared to internalizing disorders.
Interesting. So the question becomes, how do we intervene using this information to bring down levels of these unfortunate afflictions in the population?
What this study is really underscoring is that our environments have a genotype, and that the genotype of these environments matter for our behavioral outcomes. So a lot of times when we think about how do genes influence our behavior and sort of what can we do about that, it's really thought of at an individual level. So how do my genetic predispositions influence my risk? Ergo, intervention should be at the individual level. But when we demonstrate, as we've done in this study, we're going to get the sort of strongest effects for prevention and intervention efforts when we consider these more, you know, social groups and implement the prevention and intervention efforts at the level of socializing units. That sort of tamps down on some of that disruptive behavior that we know is sort of an early precursor to disorders like alcohol use disorder and drug use disorder.
Many thanks to Jessica Salvatore. That study was published in the American Journal of Psychiatry.